imagine with me for a second, if you can. The construction industry is a tough business to get into in terms of being able to get contracts, in terms of you need skills, you need know-how. So let's say, just sheer grit and determination, you're able to get up and running. You're able to have a business. You win a tender and you think, all right, I've got money in the bank. I've got people to employ. We've got projects. You're partnering. Everything seems to be going well. And then these thugs hit. These are armed gangs who are targeting the construction industry. They force contractors to abandon projects. In fact, as the latest tally is around projects, more than 27 billion rand have been abandoned because of this thuggery. So what they do is they hijack construction sites. They demand a cut, sometimes up to 30%, and they threaten violence if they don't. In some cases, they've shot people in cold blood. State infrastructure projects have been worst hit, with 60 projects belonging to SANRAL, the South African National Roads Agency, being affected. We've got with us in the studio Webster Mfebe, who's the CEO of the South African Forum of Civil Engineering Contractors, and he's called on the government to address this issue urgently. Webster, a very good morning to you, and thank you so much for your time.
Morning, Bongani, and the listeners.
Already you've heard voice notes coming through, people calling us and saying they know exactly what's going on. They've experienced this. They've seen this where they work. It seems to have started in KZN and then basically spread around the country.
Yes, it started at KZN and has now a national footprint. But I do want to say quickly in response to the voice note that I'm deeply pained to hear an African woman entering a male-dominated industry to be treated by other black people acting in the name of radical economic transformation, which I refer to as a fake radical economic transformation, which only serves their bellies and nothing more than that, that is profound to benefit the majority of black people. Yes, it started in KZN.
How do these guys work?
They go on site, armed, demand a stake in the project. If you refuse, they say, okay, if you don't want us to be your subcontractors, pay us 30% of the value and we'll walk away. If you refuse, there are consequences. In 2016, they killed, like the lady said here, but in KZN, they killed a black contractor in cold blood who refused to cooperate with them. And that case is still pending and no one has been arrested.
From what I understand, there have been projects with international partners, international investors that have had to be abandoned because there's no way out of this.
Yes, Turn 2 Bridge in the Eastern Cape, which is the SANRAL project worth 1.65 billion, and an oil storage facility in Saldanha Bay, also a German investor, international investor, worth 2.4 billion rand, and where the properties were torched and a damage of 75 million rand incurred. And interestingly and disappointingly, the police were there quickly on site and they said, and we are not trained. We need to wait for public order police from PAL, which took 3 hours whilst properties were burned down, police present. It is unacceptable and inconceivable.
They sat there and they watched this and did nothing.
They said, we're not trained. We have to wait for public order police to come from PAL.
And guys, just hands in the air.
Exactly like that. And then what message does that send to international investors?
So when you hear, forget international investors.
And domestic.
You hear that private capital in this country is sitting on its money, is not investing, and this is what you deal with on a daily basis, what's your response?
Of course, I said change the investment environment. Chief among the things that the government has to do is to ensure that there is a rule of law. Law and order must be maintained at all material times, because what investors domestically and internationally are looking for is a conducive environment where they will be return on their investment. The two projects, for an example, that we referred to, the president having sent envoys internationally to woo investors to come here, and here are the investors, and the government is powerless to stop this unthinkable.
It is unthinkable. I mean, it really sounds completely unthinkable. These cases are well documented. They've been publicized. I mean, Carte Blanche has done an insert on this.
Yes.
This has been in print media.
Yes.
Where's crime intelligence?
That is my greatest disappointment, that one of the reforms that President Ramaphosa needs to do expeditiously is to reform the intelligence services in this country. And there is a plethora of allegations out there that the crime intelligence were accused in the past of being embroiled in political factional battles than securing the country and its citizens. And this needs attention expeditiously, like yesterday. There needs to be reform. You can't tell me that since 2016, at the height of this, that the crime intelligence up to now have no clue as to who is behind this thuggery and this organized crime.
When you say no clue, where are we on arrests? Where are we on prosecutions?
As far as we know, despite our members in the construction industry having secured no less than 51 court interdicts against certain business forum, no one, to our knowledge, has been arrested and charged.
So hang on, you're saying these thugs set up organizations that are supposedly representative of community interests. They call themselves business fora, and so they are known entities.
They are known entities. The culprits are well known to the police. And in fact, in my conversation with the head of security and police in KZN, who acknowledged that some of these people are known former military veterans who had some brushes with the law, some are ex-convicts, they are known. They are known to the police. Despite all that, nothing has happened.
What has this done to the skills drain in your industry?
It has driven some skills out of the country. And this is very sad, because it will then affect the capacity and the capability of the industry once the construction cycle picks up. We will not have those skills. Then we will then have to compete with international construction companies who are using our own people who have been skilled to compete in our own country. This has happened in Africa elsewhere. The construction industry elsewhere in Africa is completely decimated, and we are going for the same trajectory, which is unfortunate.
What are some immediate steps that you would like to see taken to give you a sense that there's some attention to this being paid?
Well, firstly, I think it was a positive move on the part of the president to announce at SONA to give that instruction
funding,
that there will be units that are set to deal with this. And Minister Tito Mboweni as well said the same thing, which is fine. But unless and until people get arrested and locked up, the experience, the lived experience of contractors on the ground is that nothing is happening until that happens.
You used a powerful word, unthinkable. It really, it's inconceivable, exactly as you put it. The CEO of the South African Forum of Civil Engineering Contractors, Webster Mfebe, we thank you so much for popping into our studio to highlight an extraordinary, extraordinary problem. I'm gobsmacked. I'm really, really quite gobsmacked at the brazenness of it, and the sheer incompetence, or at the very least, lack of will to deal with this from our crime intelligence services. Thank you, sir.